The hour of 12:45 having arrived, I'm going to call to order the Greater Minnesota Jobs, Economic Development, Finance Division minutes. And Representative Lean, do you have a motion for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do. I move to approve the minutes from February 4, 2019.
Representative Lean moves the minutes. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Members, we're going to continue with the overview of how Minnesota deals with disasters. And you have an agenda in your packet, and we have the list of testifiers. And if there's anyone else who wishes to testify today, of course, we'll allow them to testify. So I'm going to call up first Joe Kelly, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management from the Department of Public Safety. And I think he has a presentation for us, and he may even have an announcement for us.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for the opportunity to give you an overview of the disaster assistance.
Mr. Kelly, would you just please identify yourself for the record so we have
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Joe Kelly. I am the Director of the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Thanks for the opportunity to give you an update on the disaster assistance contingency account. And, Mr. Chair, I will integrate that very important announcement into the presentation as we go through. Real quick for context on what we do at that Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, our mission statement is to help Minnesota prepare for, respond to, and recover from emergencies and disasters. And when we say Minnesota, we're talking about cities, townships, counties, and tribal nations. Our job is to help local government deal with the bad things when they happen and then hopefully be able to provide them the resources to clean those things up and get their communities back to normal. Our vision statement and what we see in a future Minnesota is that those communities are resilient, that they know how they're going to respond when bad things happen, and they have the capability and the apparatus in place, if you will, to recover and to rebuild. Why do we do what we do? Why do we have our primary mission? It's because disasters do happen in Minnesota. Minnesota is one of the most disaster-prone states in the nation. This is a heat map, although it's in cool colors. The darker the county is on this map, the more times it has been included in a presidential or gubernatorial disaster declaration. If this was the map of the United States, Minnesota would be dark blue as well. We don't have earthquakes, we don't have hurricanes, but we have flooding, and we have a lot of severe weather year-round. Just to put that in context, let's take a real quick view at what happened during 2018 here in Minnesota, and it started early. You may recall a historic snowstorm in the middle of April, right around tax day, where some parts of the state got up to 2 feet of snow. This storm entered Minnesota in Rock County, but down in the far southwestern corner, and went in a diagonal from southwest to northeast and exited up in the city of Duluth at the tip of Lake Superior. This photograph, by the way, members, I apologize, is not in your packet, but in respect to Mayor Larson, who's going to be with us today, I wanted you to see what that storm looked like when it came to her city. That's an ice storm caused by extreme winds, rain, and just the spray off of Lake Superior. It did in the mayor's community about $675,000 worth of damage to the city of Duluth and the lakefront. As we went through the spring, we had some typical spring snowmelt flooding in Lac La Parle and in Marshall counties. And I just want to highlight a detail here on Marshall County. The damage you see is very emblematic of that event. Spring snowmelt flooding, damage to soft township roads, culverts, etc. About $190,000 worth of damage to township roads might not sound like a large amount, but an event of that magnitude per capita, if it occurred in Hennepin County, would be $23 million. So to the people of Marshall County, this was a big deal, and it kind of highlights the importance of the state disaster assistance program that I'll talk about in a couple of minutes. June, more rain on both ends of the state. Again, some township road, gravel road, resulting in state disaster declarations. Ramsey County, those of you that transit the city of St. Paul are familiar with that scene, the Wabasha Street slope failure. rain-induced slope failure of those limestone, that limestone cliff behind it, closed the road, damaged the road, and more importantly, by the time all was said and done and the road was protected to the point where the citizens of St. Paul could use it again, they had expended more than $1 million in order to make the Wabasha Street usable. Then the rest of June came. It started raining in the middle of June and did not stop until the middle of July. 28 counties, three tribal nations, $22 million worth of eligible damage to public infrastructure and other response costs. We believe the damage from this event, which was declared by the president as a major disaster declaration, is understated probably by a factor of about 50%. As of today, the projections that we're looking at, instead of $22 million, are $33 million. So a lot of damage across all four corners of the state of Minnesota. Summer just kind of kept on going. We had rains during the last week of August that wreaked havoc everywhere from Aiken County and Coochin County in the far north down to Houston County in the far southeast. Some of you may be familiar with the Como Falls Park in Hoka, which was essentially destroyed by a high-volume rain event that basically washed away all the hillsides and stream banks around falls in the park. And the others are pictures of what we often see in the summertime, debris removal, wind damage, and so forth. Again, this resulted in a state disaster declaration. Then on the 20th of September, we had the third largest tornado outbreak in Minnesota history with 25 confirmed funnels. This came in Martin County in the south-central part of the state and, again, went on a northeasterly direction and exited in Goodhue County. The picture in the upper left is the Faribault Airport, which was not destroyed but experienced significant damage. You also see some of the other pictures, damage to homes, down trees, and flooding. This was about a $4.9 million worth of damage to eight counties and one tribal nation. The county of Rice in the Faribault area was the hardest hit with $2.8 million worth of damage. Big impacts on these communities, and you can see starting in April and keeping on rolling. We were not done yet. October came in strong first on the 3rd up in Cook County in Grand Marais. They had a severe windstorm with pounding surf that did about $175,000 worth of damage, most of it down trees and power lines. And then on the 10th of October, the city of Duluth in St. Louis County experienced what I used to smart off about as an inland hurricane. But the more we looked at the data, the more that is an apt description, because they had sustained winds that were at Category 1 wind force for hurricanes. And then the flooding that you see, if you've been to Duluth, you recognize that's Canal Park. There's a foot or two of water in that parking lot. That doesn't sound like a lot of water until you consider that the lake elevation in front of it is 12 feet lower. So the winds, those 70-mile-an-hour winds, created storm surge flooding like hurricane states have. Picked up 14 feet of water, pushed it inland into Duluth, and then pulled it back out and did the requisite damage. This took us a while to go through the damage assessment process with FEMA. In the end, we agreed to disagree, and the initial assessment was $11.5 million, which was enough to justify the governor asking for a federal disaster declaration. And the announcement, Mr. Chair, is that on the 1st of February, we received word from FEMA that the President of the United States has authorized a major disaster declaration for St. Louis County and designated the city of Duluth for assistance. So we had two federal disaster declarations this year. Disasters do happen in Minnesota. Things get so bad, even Babe gets knocked off his pins from time to time. Here's the year in review very quickly in numbers. By the way, that's from the city of Garrison in Crow Wing County, I think 3 years ago following one of their windstorms. 10, the number of major events we had. And these are the major ones, not the storms and impacts that a lot of our communities dealt with on their own. These are the things that rose to the level of severity and magnitude that it was appropriate for the state and or federal government to help. 8 gubernatorial declarations, two presidential, $40 million worth of uninsured damage to public infrastructure in communities across Minnesota. 49 counties were designated for disaster assistance this year. Now, not necessarily 49 different, but 49 times a county was designated for assistance, and four of Minnesota's tribal nations. And 436, and I should have put a little arrow there, and rising, the number of local government agencies that have applied for disaster assistance so far from the events associated with 2018 that you just took a look at. So 2018 was a very busy year, and it put a tremendous strain on our disaster assistance contingency account, which I'll give you a quick overview on next. But first I want to walk you through, because I think this came up during the hearing on Monday, Mr. Chair, when I wasn't available, how we go through the process of qualifying for federal disaster assistance and how does our state disaster assistance program work. The first is for the state of Minnesota to qualify for federal assistance under the Stafford Act. The first indicator at the top is we have to have about $8 million worth of uninsured eligible damage, in this case for public infrastructure and response costs. It's $1.50 per capita. That's the same formula that's applied across the country. Depending on your per capita, that's where your indicator is set. So if Minnesota needs to have $8 million worth of damage, and for a county or a tribe to be designated, they need to have $3.78 per capita. So if you're, you know, figure out whatever the 2010 census population of your county or tribe was, that's how much they have to have. It is a big and. For a county to be designated or a tribe, we have to have as a state $8 million, and they need to meet their county threshold. When the President of the United States declares a federal disaster, he declares that an exact disaster exists in the state of Minnesota, and then he specifically designates the counties and tribal nations that are eligible. If your county is designated, then any local governmental subdivision is eligible to apply for that disaster assistance. Cities, school districts, police departments, county and township, road, etc. There are no thresholds at the applicant level. So what do we do if it's bad enough, or it's bad enough to hurt a local community, but it's not bad enough for the state to qualify for federal assistance? Well, in the old days, and Mr. Chair and other members will recall, that's when there would be special disaster legislation requested by the representatives of that area. We would like a special appropriation of $2 million to help us clean up from this mess. In 2014, authored by the chair and voted by the legislature and signed by the governor, we created a state disaster assistance program, which is the companion to the FEMA one. In this case, there is no state indicator because the state is the provider of the resources. The county indicators are half of what they are for FEMA. So there is no and in this case. If a county suffers eligible damage at the to meet or exceed $1.89 per capita, they can apply for state disaster assistance from the governor, and the governor can authorize that as well. There's a 75-25 split, cost share, if you will, for both of these programs. For a federal declaration, for a FEMA declaration, FEMA, the federal government, will reimburse that local applicant 75% of the eligible damage. And in accordance with Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12, the state of Minnesota will pay the other 25%, what we call the non-federal share, what is often colloquially referred to as the state match. So then a local community gets a free disaster, right? Well, no, there is no such thing as a free disaster. The, quote, skin in the game that local communities have is they pay for all the ineligible stuff, the things that, according to federal regulations in our state program, the state or federal government does not deem eligible for disaster assistance, but are still important costs borne by the communities as they try to keep their citizens safe and rebuild. In the case of a gubernatorial disaster, it's a 75-25 split. 75% of the eligible damages will be reimbursed by the state of Minnesota out of the disaster contingency account. The remaining 25% is borne by the local government. Most typically it is whoever the applicant is only gets reimbursed 75%, and they shoulder the other 25%.
Director Kelly, before you leave this, I want to go back to 12B for a second. 12B was created, at least in part, because the legislative auditor did an extensive report in 2012 of 12A and then of the repetitiveness of the disasters and the fact that you already alluded to, that they were not all presidential and that these disasters were happening with such speed and repetitiveness that we needed to have something in place. And this was the critical component, the establishment of an account that would let us deal with these disasters when we were not in session. And as you take a look at the dates that you've given us of these disasters, you will note that the vast majority of them occurred when we are not in session. And yet, these areas need help, and we need to make sure that certain critical things are done almost immediately if we're going to restore, for instance, communications, transportation, and other vital links. So 12B was really pushed by the legislative auditor to make sure that we handled these fairly and we handled them with speed, because in some cases, if you're in winter, for instance, you need heat and you need to make sure people are safe. So thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for that perspective. Just another quick look at the number, the breadth and width that this program, the one specifically, the Chapter 12B, the state assistance, absent federal aid, the counties that are shaded in are those that have benefited from this program. As you can see, some of those counties, and you might not be able to tell in yours, there's a number in there as well, the number of times. For example, Crow Wing County is the leader, if you will, if there is such a contest. Five times since this program has been established, the governor has authorized state disaster assistance without FEMA's aid for the county of Crow Wing. St. Louis County, with the host city of Duluth here today, has three times received state disaster assistance. So this program has benefited our citizens, your constituents across the state, from Houston County to Kitson to Rock and Cook and almost every other place in between. So it has been a program that has benefited greatly the citizens of Minnesota in order for us to fast provide aid following an emergency. As Mr. Chair explained, the Disaster Assistance Contingency Account, which is the fund, which is funded with general funds and then is a special revenue account so that those funds do not expire at the end of a fiscal year and biennium and roll forward, was established in Chapter 12 in 2014 simultaneously with the creation of that state disaster assistance program, absent federal aid, as Mr. Chair very well illuminated earlier. Since that time, the legislature has appropriated $52 million into that account. And we have transferred $51.5 million out of that account to provide assistance for both federal and state disasters, because the funds in that account pay for that non-federal share when the president declares a disaster, 25% of the reimbursement to local communities, and it funds the 75% state share when the governor authorizes disaster assistance. Interestingly enough, the contingency account spending has split roughly 50-50 between federal and state disasters. There are far more state disasters. Excuse me. We've had 32 of them since this account was created. We've had four federal disasters since this account was created. So the funding is about 50-50, $25, $26 million apiece. Interestingly, there are about 75 counties and a similar number of, I think, six tribes in both cases that have benefited from both federal and state disaster assistance using the funds in the contingency account. This account is recognized as a best practice nationwide. I think this is something that the legislature should be justifiably proud of. I know it is something that, as I have traveled to the state following incidents with the governor, members of the legislature, and our congressional delegation, it is greatly appreciated. There are about 21 other states that have similar programs but none of them, in my humble opinion, are better than the Minnesota one for a number of reasons. One is the account is funded. There are a lot of states that have an account that is there, and they just wait to put money in following a disaster. Two is it pays the full non-federal share. So that 25% is known to the local officials. They can factor that in. In Minnesota, it was done, it depended. Sometimes we paid the non-federal share, sometimes we didn't. Sometimes they paid 12.5 and 12.5 split between the state and local. This is now something that is a known factor, and it's predictable and something that the communities can count on. The other thing that makes it different than any other account in the similar program in the country is that it covers all of the categories of damages, from the emergency work, roads and bridges, buildings and equipment. Some states only cover road repairs and emergency response costs. Minnesota covers the full FEMA menu of eligible expenses under what we call public assistance. Since the account was established, and again, my professional opinion is this something that you should be proud of, I am grateful for, the legislature has not had to meet in special session since this account was created in order to provide disaster assistance to your communities in a timely manner. And we've also avoided kind of a sometimes confusing and time-consuming practice of having to go back and cancel an appropriation for one disaster because we appropriated too much money, or create another separate deficiency bill because this money is appropriated in law for a specific event. So it has really allowed much more efficient fiscal management on the part of the department because those funds can flow back and forth and as they are needed. So with adequate funding, I believe, and Mr. Chair, you can speak to this, I think the account has worked exactly as the legislature intended.
Director Kelly, I think more importantly, it worked exactly as the legislative auditor intended it to work, because it was his recommendation to create this in order to ensure that the monies were well spent. There were issues in 2007 with the special session bill, and as a result, in even 12A, we compensated for some of the problems that occurred when we had a special session, and we did not have full knowledge or understanding of how we were allocating those funds.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The current status of the account, the current unobligated balance is around $500,000. I think it's actually a little bit lower than that. And if you consider that last October we had about $15 million in the account following an appropriation transfer from the legislature last year, you know, we have gone through $14.5 million. That doesn't leave much in there. The initial state share of this latest federal declaration for St. Louis County and the city of Duluth is $2.9 million, thus creating a deficiency of $2.4 million. And the governor does request a $10 million deficiency bill here for the fiscal year 19 budget in order to make this this account whole.
Director Kelly, do you want to address House File 682, which was put in at the request of the governor's office and which I introduced? We are in possession of the bill. We are not hearing the bill, but the bill is in your packets. Do you want to address that now?
Is that the $10 million bill, Mr. Chair?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. We are grateful for that bill. We're grateful for the governor's support because, again, our mission is to help your communities recover. Why $10 million when you're only $2.4 million short, Kelly? Well, because 2.4 is to get us to broke. We then have the spring, and think back to the slides we looked at earlier. We have spring coming in Minnesota, hopefully. It's hard to imagine right now. And spring is one of our very active disaster seasons. Last year, between this time and the end of the fiscal year, we had four state disasters with $4 million worth of damage. So we don't know what the spring will bring. We've had some tremendous disasters in the springtime. The other is we need a little bit of funding flexibility so that when current disasters come in at higher than anticipated or projected expenses, we have the ability to provide that relief to communities. As I said earlier, Mr. Chair and members, I believe that the summer flooding was understated by about $10 million, figuring our share of that's about $2.5 million. And I think the federal disaster just declared for Mayor Larson's community is probably understated by $7 or $8 million, so another $2 million. So the good news about the contingency account is, again, the money does not cancel. It just transfers forward. It's like I often think of an analogy of a gas tank. We need to have so much money in that account in order to take care of your communities, and we need to fill it up so that we have it, and when we need an additional appropriation, we simply ask that that you fill the tank back up, and that's kind of where we are. I wish I could project with great certainty how much money we needed for the balance of fiscal year 19, but we are at the mercy of Mother Nature, and the weather certainly has become much more unpredictable. I often use the example, Mr. Chair and members, of spring flooding. The last time we had a major traditional spring flood that resulted in a federal disaster declaration was in 2011. So that's 8 years ago, counting this year. But we have had major floods with federal disaster declarations in 2012, 13, 14, 16, and 18. But those were caused by high-volume rain events, primarily in the months of June and July. Ice storms are a thing that keep me awake at night. And we're just entering into that season as well. So, Mr. Chair, I hope that answers your question. We're grateful for the bill and the governor's support.
Members, questions? Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a technical question. The money that is in the account ready to be used, is that in an interest-bearing account?
Mr. Kelly?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I do not believe so, no.
We can find out, Representative Anderson. My answer would also be no, but we'll find out for sure.
I've never received any interest payments, Mr. Chair and members.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Stay put because we may need you later on.
Yes, sir. I'll be here for the duration of the hearing. Thank you.
Right. Next on the agenda is Mayor Larson, City of Duluth. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Pawlowski, members of the committee. My name is Emily Larson, and I am the mayor of the City of Duluth. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me here today. Really, my message is fairly brief. It is to thank you for so much partnership and so much that happens here down at the state of Minnesota. I want to personally thank Chair Pawlowski for authoring House File 345, which would replenish the state funds for disaster relief in response to a presidential declaration of a natural disaster. As Mr. Kelly just spoke so eloquently, we know a lot about disaster. I would say we know a lot about resilience in Duluth, and it has been a very active couple of years for us. I'd also like to thank you, Representative, for the work that you have done to establish the statutory framework for the state's response to natural disasters, which we find in Chapter 12 of Minnesota Statutes. Duluth has experienced a significant natural disaster with the tremendous storm that took place on Lake Superior in October. The storm was followed by a similar event the previous April. We had hurricane-force winds that drove waves of up to 18 feet, swept away significant portions of the city's lake walk, flooded the Canal Park District, including parking and businesses. We sought and actually just were approved last week to obtain a presidential declaration of disaster. All told, we had a request of $18.4 million of damage. It is a kind of damage that is hard to see. You can't actually see some of it. You can see that the lake walk is gone. What you don't see is all the infrastructure and all of the engineering and all of the stabilizing elements beneath it. And I'm really proud that a lot of the work that we're doing now as we rebuild the lake walk and we rebuild these assets is really based with climate adaptation in mind. And so we are actually talking about that in Duluth this week. Some of the new features we are using, because it's really hard for us, it's hard for our residents. I know it's frustrating for you to continue to put money after money into a project, knowing that this is the direction of weather these days. So we are doing our best, and I can talk about that another time. Our understanding in Duluth is that other floods and natural disasters, which took place all around the state, had depleted the funding designated for natural disasters, so this bill would replenish that fund. I am asking for your support. I would be happy to respond to any questions you may have regarding events of October that were devastating, but really my main purpose here is to thank you for your state response to our natural disaster and disasters, of course, that happen in all of your districts. And just a final thought, Holly Sampson reached out to me from the Duluth Superior Community Area Foundation. We do have a philanthropic community that is working on a disaster response so that when we have something that happens, we have a cohesive, collaborative way to respond to it. The Minnesota Disaster Philanthropy Working Group is a part of the Minnesota Council of Foundations. They are in very strong support of this fund as well. They have been very generous in supporting our strategies as a community. I think they would be for your communities. I hope you don't need it. Hope you don't need to activate them, but I do hope that if and when you do, that support is there. Those are my comments, Chair.
Mayor Larson, thank you. I want you to stay there just for a second. Mayor Larson referred to House File 345, which was the first bill that was put in at $2.4 million. That bill now has been superseded by House File 682, which is $10 million, which has been put in at the request of the governor's office.
Yep.
That not only does what you said it would do, but it would also do what Director Kelly had indicated, and it would help the fund move forward. So there are two bills in. I happen to be the author of both of them, and for anyone that knows my bill introductions, this is way over my limit on bill introductions. So we're in possession of both. We're going to see where we're going to go this session with this account, and it may be that neither one of these two numbers will be the final number. Mayor Larson, I realize that you have not been in office for the length of time that Duluth has suffered a series of disasters. Mm-hmm. So if you can't answer my next question, that's perfectly acceptable. But you have had a series of rather large disasters. I think the second largest disaster in the history of the state may have been indicated at Duluth. Can you respond to that disaster when you actually had the lake go back up into your storm and sewer systems and blow most of those out? This was before you were mayor, but
that's right. Yeah, that storm did precede me. Yes, I was on the city council at that time. I believe it was maybe the year I was running for election. We are actually still digging out from that flood. You know, Duluth has 42 creeks. We are, of course, as you know, this beautiful city that goes down a hill. The flooding, the water levels, floodplains, these are things and factors that we talk about all the time as it relates to economic development, where people can build and live, build neighborhoods. So that particular storm predates me, but it is still something that we are experiencing and impacting and still recovering from in some critical areas. I can say that my first year in office, we did have this windstorm that knocked out two-thirds power to our community and almost made it put us in a crisis state of delivering water to our residents because of the water pumps that went out and the backup went out and the backup to the backup went out. So what has happened is it has pushed us, of course, to get more deeply committed to our own resiliency on behalf of our residents. So there was the windstorm, then these other two floods. So I am in my fourth year of office, and every year I have had a disaster.
Yes. And Mayor Larson, the question was raised at our last meeting by one of our members, and I responded to it, and you just responded to it, in that making sure that we do these repairs, we have to make them in such a way that hopefully we won't be making them again, which means
That's
we're
right.
anticipating 500-year events or maybe a 1,000-year event now in some instances. But I want to draw attention to what she also said. They're still making the repairs. So sometimes when we see a list of unexpended funds in certain areas and members see that sort of free money, that's not free money. Those are already committed dollars, and because of the delay in making sure you can do those construction projects
right.
properly, We have to make sure that money stays there so a city like Duluth can make those repairs, or southeastern Minnesota is still making some of those repairs in Houston and in other counties. So I appreciate the comment. Any questions to the mayor?
If I may, a final comment, Chair. Just I would invite you and your committee up if you wanted to come to Duluth and see a section of the Lake Walk that we intentionally did this winter. It was really hard to get to, very stressful. But because I really wanted the community and the state to see how it is we are doing this differently now so we don't have to keep doing it. So just a personal invitation to you and members of your team and committee that if you want to see how we are using climate adaptation and new strategies so that we don't have to keep coming back, I would really love to show you.
Mayor Lester, we appreciate that. And the first presentation that the chair did to this committee was on the reinvention of the House mini session.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have a mini session and the theme may be disaster. And just go out and visit areas of the state that have been hit and then how they have responded to these disasters and are making these repairs. This is a critical component and as you've said, it's not going away. It's going to be with us for some time to come.
That's right.
So we appreciate the invitation. Always look forward to visiting Duluth.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, Sherry Munoz, the Association of Minnesota Emergency Managers. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sherry Munoz. And I am here today on behalf of John Bowen, who's the Legislative Committee Chair for the Association of Minnesota Emergency Managers. AMIM, as it's called by nickname, represents 440 county, city, tribal, and other emergency management professionals throughout the state. These members are involved in the aspects of preparedness, prevention, mitigation, response, and recovery from disasters, representing the local jurisdictions on the front line. AMIM had joined with HSEM DPS in advocating for the creation of the state disaster assistance account and legislation to make utility cooperatives eligible under the leadership of Representative Pawlowski and with the utility cooperatives, also with Representative Erdahl. Key benefits of this account from the local aspect include avoiding the need for having a special session called and the associated costs that go along with it, as well as more expediently assisting local governments who have been the victims of these disasters. Two examples I'd like to share with you from different counties to show the impact of different size counties, different populations. The first one is Crow Wing County, 64,000 population. In 2015 and 16, Minnesota had 11 disaster declarations, and four of them were in Crow Wing County. There was one in 2015 that was a blowdown in the Brainerd Lakes area, which also affected Nisswa and Gull Lake area. In 2016, there were three more state disaster declarations, two straight line winds, and one flood event, as well as an EF2 tornado on Father's Day with widespread baseball-sized hail damage, which did not meet the threshold for the declaration. The second county is Norman County up by Ada, Minnesota. The population there, 6,500, and they experienced two disasters since 2014, total damage assessments of $200,000 in each of those summer events, which were tornadoes. And it shows you that an event can be small in cost, as Representative Pawlowski noticed earlier. However, that's a lot of money to these very small communities. The Association of Minnesota's Emergency Managers believes that providing funding will result in a more efficient and effective path forward. And we thank Representative Pawlowski and support House File 682. Thank you.
Questions, members? I want to thank the association also for their assistance in the creation of 12B. They were troopers as this bill was going through the committees, and it was their input that made sure that the bill worked when it was finally signed into law by the governor. So thank you very much for all your help.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify? Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, then meeting is adjourned.